Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is another episode of Hell No, the Radio Show. Hell No, the Radio Show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature some guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is a lot of things. It's friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. What we do is we give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program, however, it's not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and certainly social awareness. So, go ahead and write down this telephone number, and it's, I'll tell you, it's the same number every week. You can call in when we do our shows Wednesdays at 7:30 Central to share your thoughts on our discussions during topics. Of course, you can click and listen to the program by finding it online, but also calling in is also great. Telephone number is 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1. Again, that number is 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take your calls in the order we receive them, so please sit tight. We can receive an email from anybody with questions, comments, or topics for the shows upcoming and suggestions. Email us at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. You can also find all of our programs on our Facebook page and Twitter page. Partial support for Hell No, the Radio Show comes from our sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about a new sponsor, and it's an unusual product for our show. It's called Equine Life. Equine Life. It is a substance that was invented as an adjunct therapy for viral infections, and also has quite a place in situations where there are neoplasms. That's cancer for the rest of the folks. It's a supportive nutraceutical. It's a product that we're going to talk a lot more about in the future. I'm not going to give any information today on where you get it or how you get it until we do a little more on the show and explain what it is and why we're talking about it, why we're excited about it. We hope that those of you out there, will, especially those of you who have animals, it's not just for horses, and will listen about it. Perhaps give us a call if you need some information and have some questions. We'll be glad to field those. So this is just kind of an initial offering, and the first time we've mentioned it, Equine Life. All right. Well, it's been strange times, to say the least. And the one thing I want to do today, something I don't know that we've ever done this before, but I want to dedicate the show to somebody. I want to dedicate it to someone from Ohio who has had a remarkably important place in my life. And we will go onward from there, simply saying that there are times when people don't realize how important they really are in another person's life. And even if you tell them, sometimes it just doesn't seem to get through. And so often, for reasons that in retrospect look very paltry, those persons go out of your life. Let's move onward and take some time to get to some of our topics for this week. Nick, you want to go over our shopping list that we put together a little earlier?
I will. I'm going to start from the bottom down the top because we have one left off from last time that we didn't talk about, which was Terry's thoughts about the myths about fairies. I have no idea where that was going to go, but that's a leftover topic. We also have relationships and personal ethics, learning when to trust, when to let the guard down, when not to, different things in communication and relationships these days. Also weddings on the same general direction. Weddings can be great reunions. Summer weddings are always fun, and as we get older, some of us are in that period in our lives where they're really more like the high school reunions. You get to see a bunch of people. We'll also talk about things that are going on in the world with, again, the reflections on recent violence and police shootings, and an interesting topic of really how to conduct yourself when pulled over by law enforcement, different options that you may have, what you should know, how, and one of the things you should know is, of course, how to act. We'll also talk about the RNC convention, there being a little bit of a different tone this year. Some thoughts from people that I've talked to, and maybe Terry's talked to some people as well. And also interesting, we've talked about the bikers before, and the bikers are big time on the Trump train, offering added security, and I suppose we'll just let's lead with that. I'll just share a little bit here. They do have I don't have it open anymore, but they have a Facebook page called Bikers for Trump, and one of the Fox News contributors, Judge Jeanie, many people who watch Fox News knows about Judge Jeanie Pirro. She's one of the anchors on the weekends in her justice program. She went on the road with the bikers in Ohio. She rode with them to convention and said that one of the guys, head of the organization, the Bikers for Trump, his name is Chris Cox, and he's fighting for a bill that would protect veteran monuments from being affected by federal budget cuts. she said, I was really impressed with these guys. There's absolutely no ego there. They're not there to be confrontational. They're there to help people. She said that Cox, who is, again, Chris Cox, the head of the organization, advised the bikers to call police when he started trouble with them. They just basically are riding to show their support. And their Facebook page does all sorts of interesting videos and, you know, again, sort of changing the tune that some might have or thoughts some might have about bikers and biker gangs and some of the more notorious things, but also all the good that the bikers do and just a really solid community of people banding together, again, just to show another thing of force against anyone who's going to try to pull anything at this convention or some of these Trump rallies. You know, hey, if the look of the bikers scares the bad guys away, I'm all for it. So, anyways, the bikers all panning together. So,
we need to differentiate also between bikers and outlaw bikers. Outlaw bikers from biker gangs are only a very tiny percentage of the folks out there who enjoy riding their motorcycles and being part of groups or clubs that travel and do other things together. They're basically social clubs. The outlaw biker gangs are a whole different world. We need to carefully identify who the people are who are giving support, for instance, to a politician. One would hope that you would look at this and realize that these are not outlaw biker gangs that are coming up there to support a political candidate, because that would be a sure sign of trying to kill that candidate's chances, not the candidate, but the candidate's chances for getting into office. It's sort of like being supported and endorsed by the KKK. You know, we've heard that one being bleated about because someone made a mention of it somewhere. I don't think that anybody in their right mind in the political arena would ever want endorsement from a group like that. In addition to being political suicide, you'd have to be fairly crazy yourself. These are radical, dangerous, radical groups, and they are pitting forces against each other in this country in a very, very unhealthy way. So, thanks, bikers, if you're doing good things and keeping the peace. Let's roll onward, as long as we're talking about politics a little bit here, and visit the convention. What do we know right now, Nick? I've been a little bit out of touch the past couple of days, so.
The concern, first and foremost, was public safety, especially following the absolutely terrible incident that happened in France with the bus that ran all the people over. So they had tall, I mean, they had perimeters set way back. There were volunteer auxiliary law enforcement officers from just about any jurisdiction you can shake a stick at. They're there. I've seen some of the security at this thing is incredible. There was, again, just they show the lining, the steps to the building and everything, and just all sorts of law enforcement all over the place. Very few protests, if any, of just, or I heard comments that, you'd have like two random people, arguing with each other and then, 50 cameras following them around, trying to make it look big. But it's been pretty uneventful. Now, this is kind of also interesting. All these things that led up, all these things that were happening the last week, and I was gone on vacation from the time of the Dallas police shooting that was happened, that happened in the afternoon. I was on my way out.
Right.
And so I missed I missed a lot of things, but there were a series of different shootings, and also in Louisiana and all the different events that happened. And it just seems odd to me that the second I don't want to jinx it here, but the convention starts and all the news is focused on here, and nothing seems to be going on in the world. I don't want to sound like a conspiracist, but the timing of things, I just always notice.
Discussed that, Nick. We've always talked about the fact that there seems to be significant deflection that goes on when, by amazing coincidence, the opposing side doesn't want something to happen. When I say opposing side, I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican, because those of you who have listened to our show know that I have no use for either party, haven't had for a long time. And I think that each side is as bad as the other when it comes to the incredibly poor representation of our people in this country. So this is not, don't even try and say that this is a partisan comment, because it's not. What we are doing and what we are seeing is time and time and time again, we'll have something major that we should be paying attention to, and the next thing you know, there's some shooting, some horrific, nasty event that draws our attention away from it. The news doesn't report on it, and we lose sight of it.
There were a good example are some of the things that were being talked about with internet and net neutrality, certain things dealing with the IRS, certain things dealing with the NSA, and a lot of the news stories that had, those, high on people's radar. We were following these stories, and all of a sudden the stories kind of went away as we, it's the classic subterfuge, look over here while I take your pot of gold, and no one's watching the pot of gold, but... another thing, when we're just talking about the tone of some of these things, and again, this deflection, there were so many comments about Donald Trump's wife, Melania, in her speech, and, the initial thing is, she took some words, she plagiarized some words, and, almost immediately they talk about, you open the door to these things, and you look at every other politician down the line, there are similar things people pick from other people's speeches. That's just how it goes. In this case, a speechwriter pulled some things that she said she had liked about something Obama had stated, or Michelle Obama had stated. She said, I agree with that. I want to say something like that. And the speechwriter apparently was supposed to, cannibalize the concept and put it in, new words, and the person failed at that and apologized. But... so now I suppose it's going to be, we wait till the other side has their turn and everyone's going to be jumping on them for their things. But, you wonder, some other people said, though, that, there was so much focus of the words that were, spoken that I guess were similar to Michelle Obama's speech by Melania Trump.
Well,
because it was there, because the media doesn't want to talk about some of the other things that were said, which and what a lot of people are talking about are, you know, Donald Trump's children. His son, Donald Jr., gave a particularly compelling speech. A lot of people were really raving about it. We do have a caller on our line. Let's just bring in one of our callers and see if she is hiding under the stairs or watching some of the convention or has thoughts on Melania. Caller, whose number ends in 6838, you're on the air with Nick and Terry.
Good evening, Nick. Good evening, Terry.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think Melania is probably just the most in-your-face example of this deflection that is going on. But it's really scary that that stories become inflamed and inflammatory and place people in reactive roles intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a bad statement that we allow society to manipulate us in that way. I saw a video today that absolutely was politically incorrect in terms of it was a criminal offense. But what I really saw was what I think was a staged presentation with the intent to inflame.
Mm-hmm.
They're big business in that. People are making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the thing is that what we're dealing with is something that none of us can put our finger on. We don't know how much is media. We don't know how much is political. We don't know how much is some other group, some power group. We just don't know. And, you know, us peons out here who have to live our lives in this atmosphere either not listening, not paying attention, or like Nick and myself, puzzled. We never know how much is coincidence. We never know who's behind what. And I no longer know what to say about that. I don't.
There's an interesting phenomenon that.
Very depressing.
Well, the interesting thing that I've noticed over time, there are certain narratives that different groups have to they use to, you know, approach their agenda. And I'm trying to think of a good example of one, but they're just, you know, maybe a theory about something that has stirred up a lot of debate and controversy. And, you know, some of it is also based on some incorrect information at times. And so you'll
mm-hmm.
see, you know, a whole bunch of stories about, you know, these a theory about this or that, you know, whether it be manned and, you know, fake landing on the moon or whatever it is. And people will go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on it. And, you know, and then it'll die down and then someone will run into it again. It's like picking up the hot potato. And so I've seen things like this shared over time. I'm like, I've been seeing that post for like 3 years now, and nothing ever happened with it. And, you know, someone will pick up something about Jade Helm, the military exercise that they had here, you know, in several states. And, you know, nothing really happened with it. It really just was a military exercise. But some people, you know, had that as, you know, dead to rights proof of their theories on this, this, or the other. So, you know, the information circles out there, it's just got to be aware and check your sources and use critical thought.
Let's walk over to somewhere else right now and run your finger down the list and pick something and we'll go at it.
Okay, summer road trips. Yay, summer road trips are good.
Summer
I had a really
summer
fun
trips.
Summer road trips. And I was on Historic Route 66. And the thing that I want to suggest is if you're going to be driving during the nighttime or dark, time things out so that you don't drive past all the cool stuff when it's dark out.
Mm-hmm.
Pick those boring states to drive through during the dark with nothing but pine trees or, you know, cornfields or whatever you have. But I just had a fun time. I stopped several different I stopped along the way and just made, like, who do I know in this place or this place? I mean, it added several hours to the drive, you know, each direction. But, you know, carve out, like, a little day to go here, you know, a day over there, catch up with some folks. And, I mean, I just crammed so much into 10 days. It was great.
Yeah, let's talk about road trips for a minute. I mean, they can be a parent's worst nightmare or a family's best dream, depending upon everyone's dynamic during the whole thing. Caller, have you ever been on a road trip with mom, dad, or otherwise?
I personally have, and then I've had experience of being on a road trip as a parent and learning on that road trip on my way to Brevard, North Carolina, that my child had motion sickness. And so
that's a bad time to find out about that.
It is a very bad time to find out. That is because these are hairpin curves, so there's really nowhere to stop. And so I think the issue there is being prepared, knowing what may or may not happen and being prepared.
Well, my folks, if I may call them that, really didn't do any road trips with the exception of two times in my life when they went up to a cabin in northern Wisconsin. They were things that I tried very, very much to look forward to, but you'd be amazed at how one misogynist, curmudgeon parent can make what should have been a real happy time quite the opposite. And folks, treat your kids with respect, but have control over what's going on. Realize that there's a very short period of time that you're going to be able to spend with them during their formative years, and damn it, appreciate it, value it, give it what it should have. Give it the respect it should have. Give it the value it should have. And make those kids a memory. Give them something that they will carry with them. And hopefully it's a good one. And maybe a tradition that they can carry on to the next generation. Traditions are fun things. They can be wonderful things. And I've tried very hard to do that for a number of youngsters over the years. Not my own.
Some of the cool things about some of the memories on my road trip, I went with my mother and we took 2 days to a small vacation places on the chain of lakes that we used to go to, and tried to go to eat at one place that was closed and owned by the bank. We thought, that place doesn't look very good now. What happened to it? Oh, it's closed. Went to another place that was a campground that had a nice sandy beach and a swimming area. Well, that is now condos and a resort. Another place that we used to go to eat and my parents would have cocktails at and whatnot, it was now grass. It was leveled and gone. So
the best attempt.
Stuff's not there anymore, you know, and
right.
It's the whole town has changed. And but you get to relive your memory when you talk about the place. Oh, remember what it was like this, or it was like that, and remember when this happened there. And so, as you're staring at a bunch of grass where the place you wanted to go to is sitting,
let's jump away from the maudlin for a minute and jump toward the fantastic, and where the idea for doing a short segment on fairies came from was some recent questions I had gotten from a youngster about fairies. And kids today rarely have the opportunity to have someone read to them, be able to read themselves, have one of the real paragons of childhood learning that were available years ago, like the Childcraft encyclopedias. And This youngster wanted to know about fairies, and I started to tell her about them, and next thing I knew, she just sort of dropped down, sat there with her chin on her hands and her eyes wide open, and I could see had a captive audience, to say the very least. So I spun a few stories that were not my own, and I made sure I didn't take credit for them, but told her some fairy stories that I knew from the one from Scotland and one from the Nordic countries, Big Claus and Little Claus, which I learned from an old gentleman named Roy Ivins. He used to tell stories like no one, and I loved his stories. I loved sitting and listening to him, and this little gal was certainly enwrapped with him. One of the things I will tell you is that there is a fairly detailed historical, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's sort of a documentary about fairies that runs through many of the old British and related, when I say British Isles, I should say UK, Irish, English, Scottish, Welsh. These stories are relatively well preserved, and the kids nowadays don't know what these stories really were, because these fairy stories were not the gentlest of things in many cases. They're pretty tough stories at times. And as our culture adopted some of it, they smoothed out some of the rough edges and, you know, rounded off the murders to who got hurt or something like that. But there was a group of books that was put out in the last century. They were named after various colors, the violet fairy book, the red fairy book, the green fairy book, the blue fairy book, on and on and on. There's a whole raft of them. And they incorporate a lot of the old stories, fairy stories, in their original forms. The Brothers Grimm, of course, collected what we now collectively call fairy tales. Those are not stories that the kids of nowadays should have read to them late at night. Many of the stories done by the Brothers Grimm were pretty grim stories. We've talked about that on another show for a few minutes, but I kept the tone light, and this little gal wanted to know about this fairy and that fairy and what was the difference between a gnome and a brownie and all the stuff that I had incorporated into a couple of the stories that I was telling her. Once again, all of this coming full circle to, please, folks, read to your children. Read to them. Teach them. Entertain them. Teach them the value of being able to sit down with a book and use your imagination to fly away with it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's a time when even the most jaded video game player can be captured. Try it, please. It's a wonderful thing for you and your kids. All right, we're just about at halftime through the music. And the tune we're going to do today was by the Angels, a girl group from back in the 60s. It was a very well-done tune. It became quite famous, and most people recognize it. So let's hear a little something from the Angels, if we can, Nick. Put it out there.
He went away, and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice.
A boyfriend's back, and you're gonna be in trouble.
Angels, one of the few all-girl groups that was actually not African-American. And they also were gals who had plenty of chutzpah. They did a live version of that on television at a time when, no matter what you did, live music didn't sound very good on TV. They did their best to put the complex harmonies together for the TV show, and they did a pretty good job of it, all things considered. So thanks to the Angels for a great song and some wonderful memories. All right, Nick, let's move rapidly onward here to important things and stuff we should talk about.
Mm-hmm. My boyfriend is back. Back when boyfriend meant something to... You know, that was quite serious, especially if you were a younger person. And the territorial, I think it's interesting, like the territorial, you know, messages with that song, just something you don't really hear as much of today. One thing that people today still struggle with is communication and relationships. And it's just, I wonder if it hits other people in waves, where people they know, or maybe yourself, relationship issues seem to go in a cycle, almost like with tides of the moon. You know, people are either fighting or loving, or all at once, or none of the other. And so, anyways, just a little personal story. Along my travels, I was had the opportunity to go to a wedding of some people I knew who dated in high school. You know, for a while, wasn't, you know, the things, people go different ways. Anyways, these two,
so,
you know,
this was a wedding where
rekindled, and
the people, right?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
you got to behave yourself,
well, you know,
by those ones.
Yeah, you crashed a number of them, so I wanted to make sure
right.
You knew these people.
No, I knew these people.
Oh,
and,
straightened out, yeah.
Well, actually, truthfully, though, I wasn't originally invited until they knew that I
well,
was in town.
Care. Finally, admit
they're like,
now
why?
Comes out. Come
so,
on.
Yeah, my tell buddy me. Said, like, oh, you're in town. I didn't know you were going to be here. You should come to the reception after the dinner. You know, just I ended up borrowing a suit from someone else to wear. So you're kind of ironic that you say that. So, but anyways, these two knew each other in high school and ended up getting married, and it was really cool. There were so many people there. It was like a little reunion. You know, also there were couples there who were newly married. And who were fighting, and towards the end of the night of the wedding, let's, you know, you wondered if they were going to stay married or be splits or this or that. And, you know, I it just seems that the things that are causing trouble with relationships these days boil back to our talks that we've had about personal ethics. And, you know, it used to be maybe, I think when we were younger, people were more concerned, well, I'm personalizing this too much, but, you know, concerned about who's going to make more money, be a good parent, you know, this. As we get older, people start to, you know, have had more trust issues in their life and sort of look for, while looking for the good things in others, also kind of have x-ray vision for the red flags and the things that set us off. And my question is, how sensitive should we be? You know, when our red flags go off and say something's not right here, are we too quick to put the kibosh on it before giving it a chance to even, you know, wrap itself, you know, around and figure it out? And and when it comes to trusting people, because nowadays, especially with the communication the way they are, if you know people in common, a Facebook message you send to someone can get copied and pasted to someone else. Screenshots of text messages seem to fly around. And this is just between friends, siblings, parents. I mean, now that everyone has texts, you know, you'll randomly see these texts from this person. Things get taken out of context. People, and there's also seem to be people trying to sabotage others. Maybe these folks who just cannot seem to ever find their own good relationships, so they meddle in others. So, I mean, there's kind of a sport that comes to this whole thing, and I think a lot of reason that a lot of people are single is they're fed up with it. They don't want to play the game. They don't know who's telling the truth, who's lying. So I guess in an alarming study, 80% of people in some survey or poll said that they would rather go on a vacation by themselves and have their phone than be trapped down with another person. And I just wonder if technology and everything we've talked about in invasive in relationships is turning us to, like, you know, old cat ladies and, you know, guys on the front porch rocking in a rocking chair.
Well, let's examine a couple of things. And one of them that has happened consistent over the years with people is that they place more emphasis on a supposed negative than they should while ignoring positives. The reverse certainly occurs, and that's, you know, that's a destructive relationship. But when you're looking at something, when you're looking at life, life is percentages. And, you know, if you hear that going to this particular store, you have a 90% chance of finding what you want and having a good time getting it, well, there's a good reason for being at that store. On the other hand, if somebody tells you that there's a 20% chance that you're going to make it up to the top of that mountain with the car that you've got, you better rethink that car and not do it. People don't understand percentages. They have become so reactionary. And the other thing that they've, you know, you really hit on the head was the influence of friends, relatives, other people, or what have you. Even the ones that are well-meaning, if they meddle, they can ruin the best of relationships, absolutely ruin them, even with just a few comments. Those things are very sensitive. So before you open your mouth and say, oh, they shouldn't have done this, or she shouldn't have done that, or he should never do that, you know, why are you putting up with that? What wasn't a problem to begin with becomes a problem immediately. No question about it. You can sabotage your relationship in a heartbeat and an eye blink that way, especially nowadays where people take things immediately the worst way they can because of poor communication. It's like people are sitting there waiting for an excuse to ambush someone. And we need to have communication, but we also need another big word, tolerance. We need to be tolerant of each other. And we need to understand that, hey, even if you don't like the fact that he goes out in the garage and plays with his car for a few hours here and there, that's a big part of his life. It's something he enjoys. He enjoys his tools. He enjoys messing with the car. It's meaningful. So, you know, maybe go out there once in a while with the iced tea bucket and a few affectionate comments and ask a couple questions. Conversely, if he's just fed up with the night that the ladies come over for doing quilts at the house, and I know that's sounding a bit old-fashioned, but more and more people are actually getting into quilting nowadays.
Yes,
learn
true.
A little bit about it. It's a fascinating thing. And give a few pats on the back for some wonderful stuff. I have a friend right now who is working on a cloak or shawl, a crochet project. And it's very, very impressive when someone takes something like that on and tries to make it happen and completes that. And they have a handmade, one-of-a-kind thing that's their very own, and that represents them. It represents their talent, their efforts, and everything else. Compliment them. Show them that you're interested in it and support that interest and encourage it when it's something that's positive. Unfortunately, way too many situations are ending up where people are ignoring the positive and accentuating the negative and blowing it out of the water, out of proportion, when it is not what it should be. If you've got a relationship that's 95% good and, you know, the other half of the relationship does 5% of things that can be annoying or problematic or involved, learn to back off. Learn to back up. Learn to tolerate. Tolerance is so important in a relationship. Being able to communicate, being able to understand the other person's interests or needs, it's important, but not to the exclusion of the good stuff that's there.
I'm going to add an element to this. I'm going to add an element of patience. Patience and time.
Yeah, patience and tolerance are very closely related.
Well, you know, with patience nowadays, and also the exchange of information, there is a tendency for people to want to be as forthright as possible, as honest as possible, and lay everything down on the table right up front, which is, you know, and you wonder why people get scared away. You know, I remember there's, you know, when people talk about, this is, you know, back when I was younger, you know, take your time to get to know someone. You don't need to know every single thing about a person immediately. And
yep.
If you're asking questions, and when you're asking questions and interview questions, but you know what I'm saying, when you're trying to get to know someone, don't ask those questions that you don't know if you can handle the answer to, if the answer is not what you like. Maybe find a way to just kind of let that other person talk, take notes, and again, get to know them over time. You can get to know the theme of a person, the tone, how they react to situations, you know, when they, you know, just get a feel about a person instead of just this fact, that fact, and all the historical experiences and everything that they've ever been through, because I don't know anybody who lives a life that is perfect and has nothing that someone else isn't going to like. And if that person is so perfect, I don't know that I want to be with that person, you know.
Exactly.
But it just taking the time to slowly let things happen instead of having, and I think now that there's so many people dating online, there seems to be an endless amount of fish in the pond, and you know, it's, you know, they keep catching the fish and releasing the fowl. There'd be a better one or this one or that. And we're not taking time to really examine any one of these fish. Could just be a great fish,
so
but
important.
We get thrown them back.
That is so important.
Go ahead.
I think that part of what is incumbent upon the individual is that they establish personal responsibility for understanding themselves first. And that is to address some very specific things that you have stated. I think that it places the individual, the more you can be truthful and honest with yourself, about what are your true needs, what are your true wants, what are your true desires, what are your dark secrets, you begin to understand what are your tolerances. How can you begin to understand and act being more tolerant if you don't first know where your own boundaries are? And then I think that addresses the next part, is it helps us as individuals to be more responsive to a situation versus at this heightened reactivity mode. And what happens in that reactivity mode is that all communication goes out the window. It becomes a command central station.
Absolutely.
And so it is short, you know, verbal sound bites. Everybody is like popcorn at this point in time. And, you know, if you take that scenario, that may work wonderfully in the streets of during a vehicular accident. But that model doesn't work well every day ongoing in a relationship, no matter what the relationship, be it romantic or friendship.
Right. It's so reflective of our times for people to be reactionary to things and also to be influenced by things they shouldn't be influenced in or influenced by. The status quo should not influence what you want. Being different is not bad and shouldn't be viewed as bad. So often being different can be a very positive thing. And if you look around the world, there are many, many, many forms of relationships that work and work very well. Each different or somewhat different than the other, some of them radically different from the other, but they work. And to try to say that this way is the only way, that is like a mantra of the Christian churches. You know, there's only one God, he's our God, he's the true God, and you don't have God. So, damn you, pagans, die now. Yes, that's a little extreme, but not too much. I was stuck in a Catholic grade school, and the things that they told us were absolutely frightening, bone-chilling, frightening, the things that they told us and the things that they said about other people, other religions. You know, everybody else is damned to perdition. They're going to hell. Once again, we need to be both open to and tolerant of others' ideas as long as they are not things that are hurtful or harmful. And if you give things a fair hearing, sometimes people say, oh, I tried this. You know, I tried it, didn't work. And then you back up a little bit and say, did you really give this a fair hearing? Did you really give this a chance? And it turns out that between cultural pressures and perhaps pressures from their friends and what have you, they didn't. They thought they did, but they did not. And a general reminder about that sometimes is very helpful for people. And get them to back up a little bit and engage in what we talk about so often on the show, which is critical thinking.
Right.
Time and time and time again, critical thinking could be very helpful, even in situations like this, especially in situations like this with relationships. And Nick, you with your legal background, for those of you who are new to the show, Nick is an attorney. He doesn't usually practice.
I don't practice
anymore,
though.
He's trying to get out of jail.
No.
You know, he's had a rough night.
But,
but
it's
anyhow.
It's
go.
You were saying.
Go ahead.
No, I was just talking about pigeonholing people. Another thing that we've talked about before.
Oh, God, yeah.
Putting people into groups and stereotyping and making some initial judgments. Now, there is something to be said for basic, you know, basic judgments that we make about people may be good in noticing things about people to lead into trying to get them to know them better. That's one thing. You know, oh, it looks like we have this in common. You probably also like this. Oh, yeah, you know, we have all this in common. Now, on the other hand, when people are, you know, I'll just jump on politics right now. Just because someone agrees with one thing that one politician of one party says does not mean that they agree with wholeheartedly all of the other things that person says, does, or thinks. Now, they may still, again, using politics, make that choice and go with that person in that party. But and this, you know, when we talk about the breakdown relationships, you know, specifically there's a friend of mine who I just don't really talk to much anymore because she was getting really abusive. And it was, you know, well, you people on your side, this and that. And it was just like, I don't agree. And some of it was particularly about some hot topic issues that I personally stay out of. And, you know, you may think that I'm just going to say this or that about it, but not true, you know. Know the person instead of pigeonholing them by also saying, oh, well, you're in law enforcement, therefore you're, you know, the same as everyone I've ever had experience with in law enforcement. Or, you know, you dated a football player, you know, some girls might not, you know, I don't know, whatever.
Or the football,
you know,
team in some cases.
You're right, exactly. Well, you know, or people who are, you know, talk about their, you know, they've had a few relationships in a short period of time. Now that person's automatically easy just because they had a lot of, maybe they had a bunch of people in a short amount of time. I don't know.
Who knows?
You were saying caller?
Again,
well,
it's what,
well,
that person,
you know,
I'm sorry, I was just going to throw one thing in here. It's what that person is to you that matters, not what they've been to 20 other people. Let them show what they are to you. Don't go on the word of other people. Don't play the game of checking them up on the internet. That's the quickest way in the world to destroy your chances at a good relationship. Googling. Nick, you already know my feeling about that, and I think my caller knows my feeling about that as well. That is one of the quickest ways to torpedo your chances at a good relationship. You're never going to find anybody that's halfway decent by doing that. And, you know, first of all, the internet lies constantly. Second of all, people, what they put on the internet, they lie constantly. And third of all, it's never an accurate portrayal of who and what that person is. You need to find out for yourself if it's somebody that is attractive to you. And another thing, if you've got a long-term relationship, and the person has been good to you, all in all has been quite good to you, and they have a lot of positive things about them. Don't go and torpedo that relationship, because damn it, they're hard things to find. They really are. Go ahead, caller, I'm sorry.
Oh, I agree. I think they're pieces of gold. Quite frankly, I forgot what I was going to say.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll put one more thing in here, and that's
okay.
Learn to treasure things. Learn to treat it like it's a treasure. Learn to treat that person you care about like a treasure. Learn to view them as something a lot more than just a little bit important. That will carry over for a long time in a relationship. And if the person is the right one for you, or right ones, whatever it may be, then things like that will work if you allow them to. Let them work. Let them happen. So many relationships are destroyed by the people who are in them for no good reason. And you ask them 20 years later, why did you break up with this person? I don't know, man. You know, did you have a good time?
What was it over? Something stupid.
I had a great time with it. Well, why did you do it? I don't know. Well, what caused it? There was this one night and we got into an argument. What? You allowed that to take out years of good
stuff? Or is it where people are in the spirit of trying to make things work? You know, there's always that one person that puts up with more than the other. And sometimes that person just has collectively just fed up. You know, this is also the same personality type who maybe puts their head in the sand for a few things and doesn't want to believe the things other people are telling them about that person. And, you know, not saying you should believe what everybody tells you, but some people are blind to people who are actually trying to do things to help them. But if you're not in that relationship particularly, it's really hard for you to say, you know, something about that other person's relationship, because they're in it, you are not.
Stay out of it is the best thing you can do, and let them find their own way.
I mean, keep them off Facebook. That's another good tip of the day.
Oh, God.
The best relationships are the one not on Facebook, unless they're well-established and long-term.
I think that we have to be certainly understanding that gone are the days where you date the boy next door, okay? People, there is a new vehicle of being introduced and meeting individuals. However, that has been so bastardized in that it has removed communication skills. It has removed people skills from a face-to-face relationship. And I agree with what you said, Terry. I think that in a relationship, if you're going to give it a chance, goal is, you stay off Google and you meet that individual and you see what they're about. You learn about them because it is important to both of you. But unfortunately, that's not what happens.
Give them a real chance.
I do know what I was going to say. Going back to something Nick had said earlier, I think he was being a little bit careful about using the word profiling. And I think that it is prudent for each of us as individuals to assess our environment, who is around us, you know, where are we situationally, how is it that we're feeling, you know, right now in this circumstance, and, you know, in an assessment, all those factors play in. And I do not find that politically incorrect to state. I think that that is being a prudent individual.
Well, and again, you have to temper that so you don't become overtly critical every time you look at people. Who knows? Who knows what you're actually looking at until you've been around them and experienced them and given them a chance. We just don't seem to give people a chance anymore. With a push of a button, they disappear. With a push of a button, you no longer hear from them. With a push of a button, they can't even find you again.
I have a
terrible thing.
a light bulb just went off in my head. Every now and then I have an intelligent thought. Light bulb just went off. So I noticed this at, okay, when we're children, we are friends with, you know, it's like date, like caller sending, you know, dating the person next door down the street. Yeah. When we're in high school, we are, you know, in homeroom or, you know, class, whatnot. We're not really, we have no choice really who, you know, whatever. And so we become friends with people we, you know, basically like for, they have similar interests, you know. And then you look at that, and as interests change and people change over the years, and if you still are in touch with people you've known over a long span of years, you're able to maybe say, well, yeah, that person, I would not vote for the same person or go to the same this or that or, you know, whatever. But I just love them because remember that time that we did this or that you know, that Rush show that we went to where so-and-so's car broke down and this happened. I mean, you've got – there are certain things – maybe that person was a little bit of a hellraiser and that's what you really liked about them or they weren't scared of nothing. And, you know, and as adults, we become so – guarded and prudent, you know, and when I was so there's such a push, especially if you are, you know, if you got kids and you're supposed to be a leader, you're supposed to show them the right way and all this. And so we try so hard to put ourselves in those own little profiles. Well, if I'm going to identify as, you know, a person who's in this group or sect, I'm going to follow all the rules and blah, blah, blah. And you may not be even true to yourself. So going and looking at someone else who doesn't fit the profile and the schemas that you've adopted and theirs is of a different camp, how stupid, because you might be missing people who are just absolutely great people because you may on the surface and outwardly and publicly differ on certain things and ooh, what your friends say. Well, you know, and it just goes in all different circles. And it just goes back to, you know, I don't know, if you're a person who enjoys people, learn to get to know the quirkinesses about people. You know, some people will joke about, you know, Southern culture and, you know, my life in Texas, you know, compared to other places that I've lived before. But I've lived in places where, you know, not everyone has the crazy out as much, and it's kind of boring where everybody, you know, they just kind of toe the line. No one ever steps out of line. You know, that crazy, and everyone, you know, that there's a little bit of a craziness about them. That's what makes us human, and that's what attracts humans to each other, the crazy.
Before we go
off
the cliff here, let's just quickly throw something fun in here. The games that you liked to play that didn't require anything other than you and your friends. Red Light,
four
Green
Square. Up. Four Square.
Four
Square.
Ball.
Yep. Four Square. Okay,
yep.
Four Square.
Okay.
Bloody Murder. You played Bloody Murder.
Yep. Bloody Murder.
I didn't play Bloody Murder.
Hide and Seek, of course.
Hide and Seek.
Yep.
Red Rover.
Good example. Good example.
King of the Mountain. King of the Mountain.
King of the Mountain. Yep. Somebody always got hurt.
There's
now.
Mother May I.
Good example.
Mother May I.
Red Light, Green Light.
Yep. Let's see goes tonight.
The poem, ashes, we all fall down. You know, and I remember as little girls, we'd stand around and, what's the name of that poem? London Bridge.
That's great. You had Ring Around the Rosie, which.
Yeah, Ring Around the Rosie.
As you got a little older, you learned that had to do with the plague, but.
Pretty dark.
Oh,
pretty dark. Right up there with Grimm, okay?
Oh my goodness!
Bubonic plague.
But see, there's, and you know what? No one got bit by a snake, fell off a cliff, hit by a truck like Pokemon. So hey, games are better without the assistance of the internet or devices. Interaction with other children, I love it.
One final thing about snakes, folks. Snakes will not chase you. There's legislation right now in Florida that's driven by a bunch of lunatics, saying that people who have an interest in venomous snakes should not be allowed to keep them, blah, 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 blah. You know what? There's good reason to tell them to go take a flying leap because no one, as far as we can tell, in the United States, at least in Florida, has ever been harmed or bitten by a venomous snake that someone else had in their captive area. There's only the keepers that are at risk. And like a race car driver, they take their own risk and they accept it. Thanks, everybody. You have a great evening.
We're out of time. See you all next week.
Good night.
Night. Bye-bye now.